Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Hello and welcome to DW's Africa Link program this Friday, the 26th of May. I'm Isaac Mugabe in Bonn, Germany.
And I am Abubakar Jallo with your responses and topics trending on social media.
On the program today, leaders of South Africa's ruling African National Congress party gather for a three-day executive committee meeting to discuss the state of affairs within the party.
People want to feel that they are governed by a government which is accountable, a government which remains loyal to the collective interests of the nation.
And as usual, we have your responses to these stories from what you've been telling us on WhatsApp, Facebook, and on Twitter.
That's right indeed, Abubakar. A Zambian court has adjourned the case of opposition leader Hakainde Hichilema. We hear from our correspondent there.
The court premises were full to capacity. The security was heavy as usual, with police armed officers manning the entire place.
These are some of the stories that we've lined up for you. But first, here's a chance for you to listen to what's been happening around the world.
I'm Crispin Mwakideo with DW News. At least 26 people have died after gunmen attacked a group of Coptic Christians in Egypt as they were driving to a monastery south of Cairo on Friday. Scores of others have been wounded, according to the governor of Egypt's Minya province, Essam al-Bidawi. In April, Egypt's president Abdel Fattah al-Sisi declared a three-month state of emergency after attacks on two Coptic churches killed at least 44 people. Britain's threat level is to remain at its highest level 4 days after a suicide bomb killed 22 people in Manchester. British Interior Minister Amber Rudd has rejected accusations that the attack could have been prevented if there were more police officers on the ground.
We must not imply that this terrorist activity wouldn't have taken place if there had been more policing. Good counter-terrorism activity is because you have a close relationship between the policing and the intelligence services. That's what we have. That's why the UK has a strong counter-terrorist network. It's also about making sure that we get in early on radicalisation, but it's not about those pure numbers on the street.
South Africa's main opposition leader, Musi Maimane, has urged his country to lodge a formal complaint with Zambia after he was barred from entering the country. Maimane was due to attend the trial of his Zambian counterpart, Hakainde Hichilema, who is being charged with treason. Hichilema narrowly lost last year's election to President Lungu and has since refused to concede defeat, saying the vote had been marred by fraud. Leaders of the world's seven most advanced economies, known as the G7, are meeting on the Italian island of Sicily to try and iron out their differences with US President Donald Trump. Trump has rattled US allies with his populist anti-globalism agenda, which has put the world's most powerful nation at odds over issues such as trade, climate change, and security. An Ethiopian journalist was sentenced on Friday to 18 months in prison on charges of subversion. Getachew Shifarau was arrested in December 2015 and charged in May last year with involvement with the outlawed anti-government group Jinbot 7. But speaking to DW, his lawyer Amha Mekonen said Shifarau is expected to be freed.
As you know, he has been in prison for 1 year and 5 months. Investigation and court hearing continued during this time. According to the rules of the prison, we expect that he gets parole. That means, factually, he has finished his prison term. So we are expecting that he will be released sometime next week.
Floods and landslides have killed at least 90 people in Sri Lanka, while more than 100 are missing following torrential rains. Officials in the Indian Ocean island say the rains are the worst in more than a decade. And for the fourth straight year, Real Madrid's Ronaldo is the world's highest paid soccer player. According to Forbes, Ronaldo banked $93 million last year alone, making him the highest paid professional footballer worldwide. His Barcelona rival Lionel Messi came in second with $80 million. For more news and information, visit dw.com. I'm Crispin Mwakideo.
Welcome once again to the program. I'm Isaac Mugabe with my colleague
Abubakar Jallo, and we are live from our studios in Bonn, Germany.
We begin the program in South Africa, where senior leaders of the ruling party, the African National Congress, ANC, have begun a three-day meeting to discuss deep divisions affecting the party between those who want President Jacob Zuma to be ousted and those who are in support of him. The ANC is also holding the meeting when various role players have stated that corruption and state capture have reduced the country to a mafia state. Zuma has been embroiled in a string of scandals, many of which are corruption-related, notably among them using state funds to upgrade his Nkandla home and taking decisions influenced by the prominent Gupta family. Subri Govender reports.
The ruling ANC, which has been in power since 1994, will, over the next 3 days, attempt to overcome serious divisions affecting the effective governance of the country. The governing party is not only affected by leadership power struggles when Zuma steps down at the end of this year, but also allegations that Zuma has reduced the country to a mafia state following corruption scandals against him. The veterans are demanding the sacking of all leaders that have used government offices for their own financial gains. One of them is Sydney Mufamadi, who worked very closely with Nelson Mandela after he was released from prison in 1990.
People want to feel that they are governed by a government which is accountable, a government which remains loyal to the collective interests of the nation. And what they see is that personal interest is assuming a nauseating quality.
According to a report by the South African Council of Churches, corruption is widespread at all levels in South Africa, thus threatening the stability of the country. Similar claims have been made by academics from four South African universities. Veteran Murphy Marobi says it's a high time that the ANC-NEC meeting takes a firm decision, especially against Zuma, who they say should be replaced immediately.
We feel that the NEC in particular has to step up and play its role as required by the ANC constitution.
Dirk Kotze, a political analyst working at the University of South Africa, says the latest call by the ANC veterans will coincide with the power dynamics within the ANC. This is reflected especially by those who support Zuma and those supporting Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa to succeed Zuma.
It will be very interesting to see what is the outcome, because it will give us, in a sense, an indication of the power balance within the NEC at this particular meeting.
Meanwhile, in an attempt to counter the calls for his immediate removal, Zuma has announced that he is not opposed to a judicial commission of inquiry into the allegations of state capture. This call was first made by the former public protector Thuli Madonsela, who alleged in her final report that Zuma had come under the influence of the Gupta business family.
Subri Govinda reporting from South Africa. Now, Abu, anything to do with Zuma and corruption, of course, brings
attracts
in more comments.
Lots of responses.
Okay, and go ahead.
The
then.
First one here from Lamin Fofana Glaus, writing from Montreal, Canada. He said, "This is a critical moment for ANC in South Africa. The best way forward is to cast votes on the matter. South Africa should set the pace for democracy in the rest of Africa." And David T from Uganda said, "Are there those who still want him to stay?" Apparently so. Yeah. Okay. And Francis Anzem Zira from Nigeria said, "Zuma has showed his incompetency, especially on the xenophobic cases. International relations have declined. South Africa is no longer great. He needs to resign or be impeached."
Yeah, keep those comments flowing on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Thanks, Nid Abu, for that. Leaders of the group of seven G7 began talks today in the Italian town of Taormina on the Sicily Island to discuss the world economy and other global issues that include the fight against terrorism, cyber security, migration, and closer ties with Africa. Representatives from five African nations are also expected to attend the summit tomorrow. Jenny Nyingi reports.
The meeting is bringing together leaders from the United States, France, Germany, the United Kingdom, Japan, Italy and Canada, European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker and European Council President Donald Tusk are among other guests in attendance. Just hours before the start of the meeting, Tusk pointed out that it will be the most challenging in the history of the summit.
There's no doubt that this will be the most challenging G7 summit in years. It is no secret that leaders who are meeting today sometimes have very different positions on topics such as climate change and trade. But our role as the EU is to do everything to maintain the unity of the G7 on all fronts.
Today's sessions were devoted to foreign policy, security and counter-terrorism cooperation. This comes in the wake of the deadly terror attack in Manchester that killed at least 22 people. Summit host Italy, which is struggling with the record influx of asylum seekers from North Africa, had proposed migration to top the agenda and invited African partners to the meeting. Ethiopia, Nigeria, Kenya, Niger, and Tunisia are the countries invited, and their leaders will attend tomorrow's session. Tough discussions are expected on some of the issues, especially on trade and climate change, considering President Trump's protectionist tone and his reluctance so far towards the Paris climate deal. Italy holds the rotating presidency of the group this year.
Jenny Nyingi with that report. Now, a Zambian court has allowed opposition leader Hakainde Hichilema to challenge the prosecution from moving his treason case to the High Court for trial in a case that has stoked political tension months after contested elections. Hichilema, or HH as he's commonly referred to, was arrested in a police raid on his home in April and charged with trying to overthrow the government of President Edgar Lungu. A short while ago, I spoke to our DW correspondent in Lusaka, Kathy Sikombi, and she started by telling us more about the case. Take a listen.
Hakainde Hichilema, who is the opposition leader and is five co-accused, they looked okay, but they looked tired. I think they looked anxious to have this issue done away with. They were eager, so were the supporters. The court premises were full to capacity. The security was heavy as usual, with police armed officers manning the entire place and cordoning it off to other people that were going and doing other businesses. So it was really, really packed. And I must also mention that last night, the South African opposition leader from the Democratic Alliance Party, Musi Maimane, was deported from the Lusaka International Airport by Zambian immigration officials in unknown and unexplained circumstances. What we have heard is that they actually grabbed his phone and they were questioning him for about an hour and then asked him to return back to South Africa on the next flight back there. So that is what has happened. The mood is still very quiet. Right now, Lusaka is really like at a standstill. It's really, really quiet. And looks like people are wondering what next will happen concerning this treason case. It's caused a lot of anxiety. And also yesterday, which was Africa Freedom Day, the Party for National Development supporters held a protest march in Lusaka demanding for the release of Mr. Hakainde Hichilema, saying that there was no freedom if opposition leaders continued to be incarcerated or arrested in prison on what they termed trumped-up charges by the regime of President Edgar Chagwa Lungu.
Kathy Sikombe from Lusaka. Now, Abakal, what are people saying about this case?
We have a response here from Ndoluvu Francis from Zambia. Said, this is the death of freedom and especially democracy in Zambia. Rest in peace, democracy. Nchimunyu Noli said, this is such an embarrassment for Zambia. The whole world is listening to such trivial issue. Free HH. That's our kind of Hichilema there. And we have Clement Lupili who said, free the man for peace and unity. We are watching live from Gaborone, Botswana.
And what are people saying about the top story? I can see some comments there.
We have a response here from Biron Gwazi from Zimbabwe, Harare.
I'll be supporting the ouster of Jacob Zuma as the president of South Africa because he's a weak leader and he has failed the people of South Africa. The poor are continuing to become poor and the rich are becoming richer and the black South Africans, they are suffering. There is no difference between the time of apartheid and now. All the divisions that are happening in ANC, they are happening because of the actions of Jacob Zuma and incapability of leading the nation and all issues that are bringing conflicts in the ANC political party.
That's Biron Gwazi there from Harare, Zimbabwe.
We really appreciate your efforts and your comments. We'll always be reading them live on air whenever we can. Keep them sending on DW Africa. And in case you've just tuned in, you're listening to DW's Africa Link program straight from our studios here in Bonn, Germany. I'm Isaac Mugabe.
And I am Abubakar Jallo with your responses and topics trending on social media.
Coming up in the next 15 minutes, Africans Rising Movement calls for good governance across Africa.
The young people have to come together, not only in one country. The young people have to get connected and to seek for their freedom.
And we are monitoring your responses to our top story. That's the discussion in South Africa on whether President Zuma should stay or leave.
True that, Abo. Also on the program, we'll talk about the finals of the German Cup, popularly known as DFB Pokal. But first, here's a musical piece about how African continent commemorates its liberation from colonialism. The African Rising Movement, an umbrella group of civil society groups and artists from across the continent and the African diaspora, is calling on leaders to abide by the rule of law and respect human rights. In the diaspora, Africans called on the authoritarian regimes who have refused until now to relinquish power to step aside peacefully rather than be forced out of office. Fred Mbuvunyi attended the event in Bonn, Germany's former capital, where African migrants there expressed their feelings through music.
Mama Africa, Mama Africa.
Jima Sanweed, a singer from Burkina Faso, calls for unity and peace in Africa with his song Mama Africa. Sanweed left his homeland 25 years ago due to political reasons. At that time, the West African nation was under the autocratic rule of President Blaise Compaoré. Compaoré, who came to power through a military coup, was removed by a popular uprising in 2014. Sanweedi is calling on Africans to be brave like the Burkinabes.
The young people have to come together, not only in one country. The young people have to get connected and to seek for their freedom, for their development, to build their future. That's what happened in Burkina Faso.
L'Obare Citoyen, or the Citizens' Broom, a civic organization made up of young people, mobilized people and forced President Compaoré, who had been in power for 27 years, to free the country. Sanweedi says he and other members of the Africa Arising Movement are outraged by the oppression in Africa.
Yeah, I would ask the people to be fair and to think about the people, because in most of the countries, 80% of the people are living in rural areas with very, very, very less, while very few people are living in the cities with most. They have to do so that everybody can enjoy of life. And enjoying of life means for me to get the minimum. The minimum is like for health, education, for the children, and these are most important things.
According to Kumi Naido, the launch director of the campaign, the African youth should play a central role in reforming the continent.
We need to put young people at the center of public life. Africa is the youngest continent in terms of age, and we have the problem of having most of our leaders, almost exclusively men, firstly, and most of them reflect a demography and an age that's very different from what the majority of the continent is.
I wanna be free, freedom Africa. I wanna be free.
As Sanweedi and his comrades entertain the audience in Bonn, Germans and migrants here are attentively listening. But the message through his lyrics is not only intended for African leaders. Naido again.
We want to encourage our leaders to do significantly better than they are doing, because with a few exceptions, most of our leaders are failing the governance test. However, it's important that we recognize that some of the bad governance behavior is linked to the deals that African governments make with their international allies.
Africans Rising is an emerging self-identifying collective of social movements, NGOs, popular social justice efforts, intellectuals, artists, cultural activists, and others from across the continent and the African diaspora. The campaign is aware of the riches its continent has and wants that wealth to be equally shared by all people, not just a narrow political and economic elite.
Freddy Muvunyi with that piece. Abu, that's an interesting piece, isn't it?
It is, and some negative responses here, especially from Melvin Mzeka, who said, the last time I checked, all French colonies in Africa are still under colonialism by France. These guys are probably Arabs.
Okay. Yeah, Francis Samzira from Nigeria says, rule of law, this doesn't work in Africa. Our rules and laws only permit underdevelopment. Let's think of mind revolution, that the youth might take the mantle of leadership, just like France in recent times.
And from Kwesi, also in Ghana, said, Africa is still suffering. Worse off, Africa can't progress because of corruption. If we can put ethnicity aside, we will be able to put party loyalties aside. If we can put party loyalties aside, we can reduce the level of corruption in Africa. Only that can Africa progress.
Blog report. And for today's blog report, we have a Ugandan journalist and blogger, Kenneth Lukwago, who has made a name for himself as one of the most reliable and trusted sources of information in Kampala. He told a correspondent there, Alex Gitter, that through his Facebook page and blog, he updates his followers on different news stories that are political in nature and others that concern accountability. Take a listen.
I write about several things, but I'm particularly very much involved in writing about political issues and issues of accountability. Since information is very powerful, it not only helps us to understand what we need to do to change the situation that we are in, but also to follow the public resources, which eventually are supposed to help us as a country to improve on service delivery.
Are there any economic gains involved here?
I haven't looked at it from the perspective of economic gains, because the gain that I get is that satisfaction that as a communicator or as a journalist, I go that extra mile beyond my traditional mode of communication, which is radio, to use my Facebook page to actually communicate with the globe.
You are a news reporter, and in Uganda, traditionally, news reporters just report. They keep their opinions to themselves. But I've seen on your Facebook account, sometimes you comment and you give your personal opinion. And then some of the comments that come up are from politicians themselves. What happens when you post something that these politicians don't particularly like?
There are those who actually respond, but there are those who silently follow what I do. And when you meet them, that's when they start telling you, I follow you on Facebook, I like what you do. There are those who actually tell you that please go slow, what you're doing might likely put you in danger. There are those who will actually call you and say, are you not afraid that what you're doing would likely put you in jeopardy?
With that in mind, has your life ever been threatened in any way?
I may not say that I've been directly threatened or harmed, but I have noticed some unfriendly comments from people who come and respond on your wall. There are those who brand you as an opposition mouthpiece. There are those who actually come and say you were bought off, depending on what information you are putting out. But I depend on the facts.
Generally speaking, would you say that Uganda is a risky or dangerous place to be a blogger, more especially on political issues?
I would say not very bad, because apart from few incidences that I've heard about, people being harassed because of what they put on Facebook and so forth, I would say on a scale of 10, I would say maybe 7%.
Are there any issues that you sometimes hold back and don't post because maybe you feel they are a little bit dangerous?
Even if the issue is so tough, I'll try my best to comment on it, but also ensure that I have the other side of government to understand, to give people a fair balance. Although I'm doing it on Facebook, I still approach the issue with a journalistic mind, whereby you don't compromise on the truth, but also you give fair hearing to the other side.
Journalist and blogger Kenneth Lukwago speaking to DW's Alex Zita in Kampala. And it's that time of the week when we talk about sports. This Saturday, the final match of the German Cup, commonly known as the DFB Pokal, will be played between Borussia Dortmund and Eintracht Frankfurt. So who's the favorite to win the trophy? To delve into the nitty-gritty of the German Cup, we are now joined by Chuck Penfold, DW Sports editor.
Yeah, well, Borussia Dortmund are definitely the clear favorites going into this one. They finished third in the Bundesliga. They've got a very talented, although young and a bit inexperienced team. It looks like attacking midfielder Marco Reus, who's missed so many big games and tournaments, will be able to play. He seems to get injured all the time, but he seems healthy right now. Of course, so will Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who was the top scorer in the Bundesliga this season. And that brings us to a bit of controversy, for it looks like this could be his final game for the Gabon striker in Dortmund's yellow and black. Now, there have been strong rumors for weeks that he's looking for a move, and these are just getting stronger. In fact, the mass circulation newspaper Bild today reported that Aubameyang, whose contract runs until 2020, has actually asked management to release him. There's a story that a Chinese club, Tianjin Quanjian, are willing to pay 85 million euros for him. He's also been linked with Paris Saint-Germain and, to a lesser extent, AC Milan.
Well, for the sake of our listeners in Africa, maybe describe a little bit more about the German Cup.
Well, the German Cup, or DFB Pokal in German, is the country's cup competition, somewhat similar to the FA Cup in England. It doesn't have quite as long a history. It actually started as the Chama Cup under the Nazi regime in the 30s and 40s. It was then revived in its current form as the German Cup in 1952 and has been played for every season since. Since 1985, the final's always been played at Berlin's Olympic Stadium. And, of course, we've got full coverage on this on our website, including a picture gallery you might want to look at with plenty of anecdotes from the Cup's history.
And at this stage, some might be wondering what happened to Bayern Munich, simply because, well, it has become synonymous with winning all the trophies that are there in German football.
Well, yeah, it's pretty simple. Dortmund beat Bayern in their semi-final, which was played, I think, a month to the day ago. Bayern went into the halftime break looking good, 2-1 lead. Dortmund got second-half goals from Aubameyang and Ousmane Dembele to win it 3-2. Now, this was a bad patch for Bayern. It was just days after they'd also been knocked out of the Champions League quarterfinals by Real Madrid. So not a good week a month ago for Carlo Ancelotti's men.
And we can't end our chat without talking about the relegation playoffs. Who stands a better chance to survive?
I think it's pretty clear. The third last place team in the Bundesliga, Wolfsburg, are the favorites over the third best team in the second division, Braunschweig. Interesting, these two teams, it's almost like a derby. They're only the cities are only 40 kilometers apart. Mm. Wolfsburg won the first of the two games at home 1-0, but they were a bit lucky. The referee gave a controversial penalty that Mario Gomez converted. The ball had hit a defender's hand, but it wasn't clear whether this was in or outside of the area, so it could have been a free kick. And it wasn't clear that he really did it deliberately. It's usually only supposed to be for a deliberate handball. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the replay, it looks like a Wolfsburg player had actually handled the ball in the play, but earlier, so it actually probably should have been blown up. So, Braunschweig a little bit unlucky there.
Chuck Penfold, DW Sports editor. Now, breaking news, the South Sudanese government has freed a local journalist working for a United Nations radio station who spent 2.5 years in jail without ever being brought to trial. That's breaking news. And Abu, back to the comments. You promised to read some more comments, right?
Yeah, definitely. We do have a response here from Isaac Ehosa Godwin from Liberia, who's talking about the Africa Rising Project, saying, listen to what he said.
Okay.
As for me, I would say the African Rising Movement is not really working for us, because I can say we are seeing the impact of what they have been doing, or their presence being felt in Africa by Africans. All I think I do notice about these various organizations is that they only come online or on radio, on TV, say things, promise us a whole lot, and after that interview, we see nothing. So to me, I just feel that they should just hold on to their speech and forget about the affairs of Africans. Let us deal with our own problems. I do not see the reason of their existence.
That's Isaac Ehosa Godwin there from Liberia. Now, let me take you to a different story. That's South Africa's opposition leader, Musi Maimane, has called for the release of Hakainde Hichilema. Maimane was actually refused entry into
was
the country.
Was deported. Yeah. And Amnesty International has also condemned, you know, the,
yeah, that's
the trial.
Why he's pretty angry about this. And a response from Loni Nchanyane says, these people marching along Musi Maimane for Free HH? Do they even know who Akande Hichilema is?
Well, keep those comments flowing on our Facebook page, DW Africa. And with that, we come to the end of today's program. On behalf of the entire production crew with me in the studios, I'm Isaac Mugabe.
And I'm Abubakar Jallo.
Wishing you a splendid weekend ahead.